Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today I want to share, just before I begin, the commission of the ministry. And God said this to the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, Joseph Hedgecock, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. The message today is for those who want to understand and know God personally. And today the message is about understanding your salvation properly. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, Joseph Hedgecock says on page 62, "One major reason why Christians have trouble moving deeper spiritually is because what they think they know hinders them from learning what God wants them to know. For example, many Christians think they know all about salvation, yet have never spent time letting God show them exactly what He provided for them when they were redeemed. This may seem elementary, but your salvation is the source of everything that you have in God. If this first foundation is not set properly, nothing else will work. I recommend you read chapter 4 on understanding your salvation in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity. The following items listed on pages 66 to 70 are part of your salvation. Listen carefully. You receive the gift of eternal life. The Holy Spirit became your comforter and teacher. You are cleansed from all unrighteousness. You are justified by faith in Him. Your spirit was sealed by the Holy Spirit. You moved into the presence of God. You are given a new nature. Old things began to pass away, and behold, all things started to become new. You fell in love with the Lord. You are born into God's family, and you are given the power to become a son of God. You receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and you are given the opportunity to live in the kingdom of God now." Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, and He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He sent." Joseph shares in Sound Doctrine on page 155. He says, "We have been given the gift of eternal life, the authority and privilege to know the Father and Jesus in a personal, intimate way. We have to draw near unto God. We have to accept that scripture by faith. When I got hold of this major key, I first claimed the scripture. I couldn't do it yet, but I realized it was a promise from God to me. There was no excuse for me not having it. There were reasons why I couldn't come into the presence of God and why I couldn't stay there. And God knew what they were. So I began by submitting myself to the Lord, accepting his lordship and establish him as my first love. God has given us all things, including eternal life, in our salvation. This is not by any works or any human effort from you. It all came freely by grace. Your responsibility was to yield to the lordship of Jesus to make this a reality and let him complete this work in you. Just because it was free does not mean that you do not do anything and just hold your arms open wide and try and claim it. There is a price to be paid in any relationship, and what costs you nothing has little or no value. You have to submit to God and not hinder this work by trying to do this in the flesh. Just because it's not working, or try to do it by works instead. In Psalm 127, this is in the Psalms 127 verse 1, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You are a building from God. Unless the Lord is doing the work in you, it is not being completed in you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. If you understand your salvation properly, then you only need to strive to enter into the rest. Otherwise, everything is very hard or difficult. In Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 23 and 24, then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that would be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Do you know that you can do nothing without him? Jesus said to his own disciples in John 15 and verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you are trying to produce any fruit by yourself, then you are not trusting in the precious promises of God in Christ Jesus. Don't even think about yourself and your own needs. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel of Christ is not a life where you go on sinning. Instead, it's a glorious because God is getting the glory through you as you let him take control, so that sin stops. This is what makes the gospel glorious. Jesus is already glorified. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The liberty that Paul is talking about here is only available on the narrow way. By remaining in the Spirit, you will be free. When the devil gets access, you will lose your freedom in Christ. And the Spirit of God is grieving to warn you. In Ephesians 4 and 30, Paul says this. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Through the flesh, the devil will hinder the glory of the gospel of God that could be manifesting through your life personally by tempting you off the narrow way. Jesus came to forgive sin, set the captives free, and bring glory to God. But if you have not made him Lord, you are hindering God from doing what he planned and letting the devil mock God instead. In Matthew 7 and 24, Jesus said this. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm starting in verse 24. I'm reading to verse 26. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which is his house built upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The church of Jesus Christ is built on hearing and obeying what the Father says, not on a person like a pastor or even an apostle. God gets glory when the storm comes because it shows who is really trusting in the precious promises of God. Jesus was not building on Peter when he said these words. In Matthew 16 and 18, he said, And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. After Jesus said this, he did not start Sunday services. Instead, he was busy making disciples and baptizing. The true church of Jesus is still here today, and it's the only church unaffected by all the strategies of the devil. It's unaffected by disease, a pandemic, famine, persecution. Jesus said to Nicodemus, John 3, 7 and 8, Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Verse 8, The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There are only two rules in Christianity. The first rule says, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. The second rule is, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. Paul warned the church that some religious people in the flesh were trying to make rules and regulations. In Galatians 2 and 4, he says this, And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, they might bring us into bondage. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the only solution for sin. Paul preached this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. He said, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul was hearing God's voice. We now have the Spirit of God, and he is in us. So we can hear and obey his voice all the time. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. He is transmitting his perfect will, The living word is always on time and will meet your daily needs. The word enables you to repent, rescue or save yourself from destruction, hunger, and direct you to do whatever you need to do about anything. John 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What are you doing with your faith? If your faith is correctly placed in him, you are operating like the wind. What are you doing with your faith? If your faith is correctly placed in him, you are operating like the wind. He is directing you what to do in all situations. You will lose that liberty by going back to the flesh. Paul said it here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Your freedom in Christ is a sign that you understand your salvation correctly. But this freedom also includes conviction. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Have you chosen to believe the truth with your mind? This could be the reason why you are hearing the devil's voice instead. The carnal mind is contaminated with the devil's lies until it has been renewed by true repentance. Everything has to be tested first to find out and see if it is from God or not. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. As long as you try to believe things in your mind, you will be deceived because the devil has access there. Instead, you should be in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to bear witness. Only when the Spirit bears witness, believe what he confirms in your heart. If you want to understand something in the Bible, then do not use your mind. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Joseph Hedgecott would often share with me the need to study in my training. And I would try and do this using my mind, because I did not know any other way. This never worked in the flesh, and I continued to lack wisdom. The more I studied with my mind, the worse I became. I kept getting the same comment from him each time, until I learned how to study spiritually. Meanwhile, I felt condemnation because I was studying hard, but I was not learning, and the fruit showed that I was still disobedient. It even looked like I was lazy, or had not even tried. The devil was making a fool out of me. Then I realized what it meant to study without consulting my mind. The real battle is not to listen to your flesh, not to do what makes sense to your mind. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. Jesus promised this to his disciples. Listen carefully. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Everything in your mind should be rejected as part of your first works, because what was in your mind before did not save you then, and it will not save you now. Even what you believed then actually hindered you from believing the truth. If there's anything of real eternal value in your mind, then God will bring it back to your remembrance. It's a wonderful experience when the Holy Spirit reminds you of things that you have forgotten. But at this point, you should make a note or obey instantly if it's a command. You need to have a right attitude to truth. Today, truth is very rare. Jesus is the truth. And he said this to his disciples. In John 16, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 16, starting in verse 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This promise was given to the disciples. Your responsibility is to get on the narrow way and get off that broad way. Otherwise, you will never be ready for the things that he has planned for your life by working out your salvation. In the beginning, after I went through a real breaking, I experienced his verses coming to my mind by grace. But I did not see this as areas where I needed to repent. These were verses I had read before. I saw this as just knowledge and not an opportunity for repentance. I just got puffed up. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Talking about knowledge, Paul said, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth." At that time, I was making excuses for my disobedience and not looking for the reasons why I could not produce the right fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 18 and 19, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Instead, I was looking at my own ministry and works. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The gifts of the Spirit are never the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Several steps are required in a process to get spiritual understanding. In the kingdom of God, you only get knowledge or revelation if you are humble. This is why it's important to establish the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When he is Lord, then you are humble. When you are Lord, then you are in pride. James says it like this. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." Jesus already said that those who are humble will succeed, and not those who are trying to be comfortable on this earth. Do you believe what Jesus said? In Matthew 5 and 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Revelation is given to those who are seeking and looking for answers. Not everyone gets the same amount of revelation. Revelation is not given to people who sit back and just claim all the promises, waving their Bibles at God. Our salvation is not just knowledge, Jesus said. Matthew 7 and 7, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Also again, Jesus said in Luke 11 and 9, And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Carnal believers have a habit of thinking they can just claim their inheritance with a simple prayer, without denying self daily. This is the cheap gospel, and it does not work, because you have not met the main condition, which is abiding in Christ by making him Lord. If you ever sin, then you have already come out of his presence, unless he chooses to cover your sin by his grace. There are many promises in the Word of God, and all of these were given to his disciples, not to the crowds. Jesus said in Mark 4:11, And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. We need to prepare to look carefully and honestly at those conditions to being on the narrow way. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Choose wisely how you live your life. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profiteth, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It seems that no one takes this statement seriously. But Jesus said it again in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? When you are seeking gain in this world, your salvation is not being worked out, and you can remain a baby the rest of your life. In Luke 9:24, Jesus said, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Your salvation will stagnate and never be completed if you have the wrong focus on this world. People who are always thinking about their lives on this earth put God last. Since you accepted Christ, you should have an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit if you have really been working out your salvation. You have to shut down that carnal nature by not consulting your mind. God knows everything, and your needs can be met by asking him. Jesus said in John 15:6-7, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men shall gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Jesus said to his own disciples who were clinging to him in John 16:24, Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Paul said it in Philippians. This is Paul speaking, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. If you have entered into the rest, then you have ceased from your own labors. Paul said in Hebrews 4:10, "For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own labors, as God did from his." Hallelujah. Do you believe that God will take care of you when you cease from your own labors? Are you clinging to this world? Then if you apply that knowledge as a doer of the word, you will get experience. You might fail a few times applying the promises in the word, using your own reasoning and understanding, and it will not work. Being a doer of the word means you are also seeking God. Revelation is given to the meek. It's something. If something does not work, it's because there is something else you're ignorant of. But those who are hungry for truth, do not give up and keep seeking. James says it like this in James chapter 1, starting in verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. "For he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Being a doer of the word always starts with conviction. Conviction is a blessing, and if you make no excuses, then you will be given more revelation. For anyone to hear the word, James says, you first must lay aside all filthiness and recognize any activities through conviction that are not appropriate, foolish, or carnal. The church today does not see this as a blocking point to understanding. Instead, they teach a wrong kind of freedom in Christ. From the experience of being a doer of the word, seeking, the door be opened, and that is when you get wisdom. That wisdom is what we pass on to others. That wisdom, when you pass it on, becomes revelation to others. Everyone still has to go through this process, being a doer of the word, getting under conviction, getting experience, seeking and knocking as well. Godly wisdom is what you have tasted and handled personally of the Word of God. Others should be able to learn from your mistakes and waste less time going ways that seem right. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Finally, from wisdom, we can get real understanding of our salvation. But this takes time. God does not explain everything to us beforehand. Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Revelation from God stopped in my life because I did not become a doer of the word. Instead, I used the word for messages and sermons rather than for personal repentance. So many think that they are ready for the deep things of God, but they're not ready because they're not deep at all. The psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 7, "Deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." If you're not prepared to repent and apply what God is showing you now, then you're not going to be faithful with any more revelation. The majority of believers do not prepare themselves for making sure they are in the Spirit, and they believe they can just pick up the Bible and read it and understand it like any other book. This is why they're so carnal and still have a confidence in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnals, even as to babes in Christ." All that the Corinthians had learnt through their mind was not true understanding. However, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and I'm reading from verse 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Verse 14. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness with which they lie in wait to deceive." Verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love." Hallelujah. The fruit that you understand your salvation is unity, not division. You're able to help others rescue themselves with truth and lead them back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because you've already made him Lord yourself. Without Jesus being Lord, there is no unity. We must all be connected to the head, which is Christ. Having the same doctrine will not create unity in the body of Christ. The church does not have unity because it doesn't understand the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God decides who he uses for his church structure. Jesus' disciples were fishermen and tax collectors. They were not academic. Jesus chose tax collectors who were considered to have sided with the Romans and betrayed the Jewish faith. Paul said here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Jesus reduced the size of the crowd following him. He started with crowds of 4,000 and up to 5,000 in the region of Galilee. This was a village, and even people came from far to hear him. The Jews feared Jesus because of the crowds that were following him and tried to discredit him and trap him with his words. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, the number of the names together which were about 120. Only 120 followers made it to the upper room that were part of his church. If you do not enter into the narrow way, as Jesus taught, then you will be among the foolish virgins. Did anyone tell you this? There are only two church denominations in the Bible, wise and foolish. Our salvation is worked out with the fear of God and his lordship." Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul also said this in Ephesians chapter 6. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verses 5, and I'm reading to verse 6. Servants, be obedient to them which are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Verse 6. Not with eyesight, as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Paul saw fear and trembling as necessary foundation in all relationships. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15 and 16, I'm reading, and his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Verse 16, and I rejoice, therefore, I have confidence in you in all things. Hallelujah. The word trembling in Strong's is number 5156. It's taken from another word meaning trembling. It means literally quaking with fear or to tremble. Your salvation includes doing the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, this is Paul speaking. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you spend your time doing something that God did not intend, that is also sin. It is, we call that the sin of omission. God keeps records. Jesus said in John 4 and 34, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Many trust in the fact that they go to church with good doctrines. They trust in their pastor to tell them the truth. But truth is a person. So if you do not know Christ intimately yourself, you will never know truth. You can only get to know truth by following Christ, not by going to Bible college. So many are following a leader who is a novice, living a comfortable life, who tells them what they want to hear. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul was working out his own salvation by following Christ as he had already taken up his cross. He said this in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word author in Strong's is number 747. It's taken from some other words. It means a chief leader, an author, or a captain, or a prince. Until you cease from being the captain of your own life, you will not understand your salvation. Finisher in Strong's is number 5051. It's taken from a word means to complete, that is, a consummator or a finisher. Jesus is supposed to be the author and finisher of your faith, not you with your own mind. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4 and 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You should only be following those who have evidence that they are following Christ. If your ears are being tickled at church services, be careful and do not follow those people. Paul says in Philippians 2 and 13, I'm reading from verses 13 to 15. He says this in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Amplified Bible says, complete your salvation in Philippians 2:12. If you are still murmuring and disputing over things which are that are worldly, you're wasting time and not working out your salvation with fear and trembling. The Holy Spirit is your best help, and He knows what has to be done in you to complete what is lacking. You need to submit and like whatever He is directing in your life, even if it is uncomfortable. Paul explained that it's not enough to be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. In Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 19 to 21. This is Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've always told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul again spoke about our inheritance in Hebrews chapter 12. This is verse 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For ye know that how that afterwards he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You get nothing if you exchange your inheritance for something here on this earth. If you want your inheritance now, you will not get it later. Charles Finney, a great revivalist, was given this verse at his conversion to Christ. Jeremiah, this is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. And verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Charles Finney started on the narrow way. He spent time with God and only wanted to please God and not men with his gospel messages. You will end up turning your back on those precious promises if you get comfortable. Then by the time you realize you need to get ready for his appearing, it will be too late. If you stop listening to truth, you are listening to a wrong voice that is more easy on your flesh because you did not like conviction. You saw yourself as basically a good person at the beginning and planned to add the wisdom of God to what you already have accumulated using your mind. I tell you, repent or perish. Charles was a lawyer, and at a single encounter with God, he felt like a drowning man without seeking God with all his heart by faith. The mind is not the place to process truth, but it can grasp and accept that truth. Maybe you've never seen yourself as a drowning man or woman. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Charles Finney understood his salvation, and he did not reap the deception like other preachers, because he clung to the fact that the carnal mind could not help him work out his salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you are hearing truth, it will expose any lies in the meantime. The truth will always expose more lies, and you will have to repent. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger now, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Jesus also said in Luke 6 and 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. And woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. God loves you, and he does not want you to be deceived. He wants you to come to the truth. You have to make the effort to examine yourself with the word he sends if you want to be ready. It might come through someone else. Only truth can expose lies. Through repentance, with his help, you can repent of all the hindrances. Repentance is part of the narrow path. Paul said it like this in Hebrews 3 and 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Do not resist and harden your heart when the Holy Spirit convicts. To be ready for his kingdom, you have to establish him as Lord now and live in the light now. Living in the light means you're hearing what the flesh does not want to hear. Jesus said it like this in John 3, verses 19, 20, and 21. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Verse 21, for he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that are wrought in God. If you just get revelation without being a doer, it will lead to deception. So the knowledge of God stops and you do not complete your salvation. This is a testimony I once heard. A large congregation was looking for a new pastor. So they invited several preachers to give a message on Sunday, and the congregation liked one of them. The one they liked accepted, and they were looking forward to hearing him the next Sunday. But he gave the same sermon again and again. Each Sunday. Eventually, one of the elders asked, do you realize we have heard the same message every Sunday from you? He said, yes, I realize. So they asked him, do you have any other messages? And he said, yes, I'll preach on those when you start doing the first message I preached. In John's Gospel, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God is not going to communicate with you through your mind. It's like you're saying to God, impress me. You are tempting God. Remember, he can let you reap what you sow if you think you're on the same level as God. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Starting in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Only the narrow or straight path leads to life. God is love. But if you choose to believe a lie and follow the lust of the flesh, you will sin. Through your life of disobedience, you will experience the misery that sin brings. This is not God judging you. He is just leaving you to yourself. The flesh is the problem. You are living in a time of God's grace and forgiveness. God is not treating us according to our sins, but giving us a chance to repent. God is waiting on you to repent of your ways. Peter says it like this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Through Jesus, grace and truth was given for repentance. If you use this grace and truth just for knowledge, you're in danger. If you really want to know the way, then get to know him first. In John 14:6, it says this, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The narrow way is following Jesus. Number one, Jesus is the way, so you don't need a list of directions or a method, but just follow him. Number two, Jesus is the truth, and that means daily conviction when you walk with him. Number three, Jesus is the life that gets you closer to the Father. And this is only possible through holiness when you stop sinning. If you're working out your salvation, you are repenting of the truth that God reveals to you through the Holy Spirit personally, and make no excuses. When you find the narrow way, you realize how valuable truth is. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 13:46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. If I said I'm going to do a teaching on the Word of God, many will immediately consult their own opinion on that subject and compare what I'm saying with whatever they already believe. Then if what I'm teaching is better, they might consider it. But John said this in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you're still sinning, something is wrong. If you keep sinning, you will be left behind. You should be afraid, fear and tremble. You are not free. You should be hungry for truth. If you are still sinning, something is wrong, even if all your doctrines are apparently correct. You are still serving the devil and a carnal believer. You do not welcome the truth using your mind. At conversion, you opened your heart to welcome Jesus. And if you're still trying to understand truth with your mind, then you're on the broad road. The first lesson from salvation is to stop sinning. Stop means you are not making excuses and finding the reasons why you are sinning against a holy God. If you keep sinning, that should be enough evidence that you're still under the devil's control. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in you and others. Jesus can destroy all the works of the devil if you submit to him as Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you still don't have fruit in your life, that sin is passing away, then there is no evidence that you are really in Christ. Therefore, you should be afraid, as you are not coming to truth. It's like you are dying of cancer, but you do not care. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. To study the Word of God, you have to be in the Spirit and not consult your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, and I'm reading to verse 7, says this. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Departing from evil is evidence of true wisdom, and it's evidence you got on the narrow way successfully, and that the Holy Spirit is destroying the works of the devil in you. It shows you're a wise version, not a foolish one. On the narrow way, you have to face many challenges he sets before you and overcome. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I shall not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You are also an overcomer when you repent and get to the root of sin. To depart from evil, you must first overcome the flesh and the devil, so that sin is passing away. Jesus is the truth, and truth exposes lies in you. Repentance from sin shows that you are not lazy, and you spent time with God getting answers, and he will make you free as you obey the truth by faith. Only by setting yourself free through repentance can you now fully understand and start enjoying your salvation. You will enjoy salvation and start to see that everything he has done for you is because he loves you. Many churches will say God understands it's okay to keep sinning. The truth is that you are supposed to repent and get ready after being born again. Paul was talking about the bride getting ready in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. It says here, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Many carnal believers see salvation as very complicated. They also think God is the problem, but when he is Lord, he does everything, and all you have to do is do nothing without first hearing his voice. Isaiah 55, and I'm reading from verses 3 to 13. It says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that thou knew not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, that he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The kingdom of God has existed by the Spirit on this earth for nearly 2,000 years. So people can get forgiveness of sin, come into the light, repent, and get ready for his appearing. This is a period of grace to give everyone in every generation a possibility to find God. When Jesus returns again, or when we die, those who lived a life abiding in him will get up to be a part of that kingdom. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that is part of the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those who miss the first resurrection will end up in the tribulation. And after this, Jesus will rule for 1,000 years and prove that he knows best how to run this planet. He will turn this earth into a paradise again in just a few months after mankind has made a mess of everything by listening to the devil. Everything is here now to make this earth a paradise by listening to him. If you cannot trust him to make a paradise in you in just 70 years, how can you rule and reign over others and do it for 1,000 years? The kingdom is here now. During the rule of Christ, there will be no poverty, disease, sickness while he is in charge. People will be amazed at how he does this without any special power or miracles. He will just apply the laws of God in the way it should have been applied, and the earth will heal. This will bring honor to the Son because he is the Word. He is the truth. You can benefit from this now as well by rightly dividing the Word of truth if you are spiritual and stop using your own mind. Do you believe Jesus is really Lord now, or do you just confess him as Lord? If he's Lord now, then he is ruling already now. That means anyone on this earth who is making decisions themselves, using their own mind about their own lives, is in a state of rebellion. Since the day of Pentecost, the kingdom has been here. This is the kingdom of God now on this earth. Wake up and realize, if his kingdom was here in physical or visible form, many would have been executed already for high treason. Everyone else who does not make Jesus Lord will face the judgment because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and still do your own will, you are deceiving yourself and you are not understanding your salvation. James says this in James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest there is one God, and thou dost well, but the devils also believe and tremble. You might say you believe, but you only believe with your mind, not with your heart. What you believe with your heart is what you do. If you believe with your heart, you fear the Lord and do nothing without him. Denying yourself and taking up a cross opens up all the promises Jesus gave his disciples. This is wisdom, to accept this teaching, denying yourself and taking up your cross. But this is not being taught today. Jesus said it in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Time is running out. If you do not take up your cross and deny yourself now, you will lose everything. Leaders who have given false hope to church people will give an account. People are told to claim promises without any mention of what it takes to follow Christ. Baby Christians are happy to worship God in big conferences with leading musicians and call him Lord, even though they do not have the right fruit. This is very foolish. This is also the broad way. Eventually, you will see the signs in the church that something is wrong, and bad fruit appears again and again. When this happens, you know you have lost a lot of time on the wrong road. You can ask God to forgive you of your sin with a simple prayer. But only by following Jesus have you really repented of your own lordship. You cannot repent of pride, but you can humble yourself and get in Christ. Living consistently in the Spirit takes you onto the narrow way and keeps you there. You are deceiving yourself if you think you will have great reward in heaven or rule and reign with him without following him and denying yourself daily. You must not turn to the flesh or to keep the law either. Paul also described the Galatians as foolish virgins when he said this in Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You cannot sin when you are in the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. So if you have not stopped sinning, then you are still foolish. Paul explained how to stop sinning. He said in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus was speaking about true salvation when he said this in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter in through the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These messages are full of hard sayings that a weak preacher would be ashamed to say or teach. I'm not ashamed of telling anyone the truth if it wakes you up in time to save yourself. You should be attending a church that brings conviction. Do not allow your mind to build another set of doctrines that stops you from seeking God and working out your salvation daily. Every word of conviction from someone who is following Christ is a blessing, even if it is a hard saying. Remember, many stop following Jesus because of the hard sayings. If you accumulate lots of doctrines in your mind to cover every scripture so you don't have to experience any conviction, then I suggest you will end up in hell. Be honest about your fruit and see if you are a follower of Christ. Joseph Hitchcock says in chapter 9 of My Sheep Hear My Voice on page 109, there is a very comfortable Christianity and most believers are following, but the end of that way is death. Jesus himself warned us that very few find the straight gate and the narrow way which leads to life. You should be fighting the good fight and contending for the truth. The devil always come up with alternatives. Reading in the Amplified Bible, in John 3:16, it says this, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal life. The earth is the Lord's prize, and that includes you. You are more than just a number. You are worth more than just a rubber ball. He loves you and died for you, even when you are trapped in your sins. Joseph Hitchcock says, many believers make a great effort to walk with God for a short season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to deny themselves, repent of their sinful habits, or count the cost to follow Jesus. If you understand your salvation and you know he loves you, when trouble comes, you cling to, rely on, and trust in the precious promises and obey his voice and follow. If you do, then you can benefit from the kingdom of God now, and you will be ready. You cannot help anyone else get on the narrow way or even preach the narrow way if you do not enter it yourself. If you're on the narrow way, there are signs that you have entered. Here are some. Number one, you love the truth and have a taste for conviction. Number two, the narrow way is your pearl. and cost you something in this life. Number three, you have stopped sinning by overcoming the flesh and the devil to abide in him. Number four, you already have communion with God now by grace through faith. Number five, there is an abundance of fruit of the Spirit that comes through abiding. Number six, you have stopped doing your own works. You're doing his works. Number seven, he is functional Lord of your life already, and you hear his voice clearly. Number eight, you have joy in the midst of your struggles because you are in the kingdom of God now. Joseph Hitchcock says in chapter one of his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page one, because Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life for our redemption through his blood, we have been given the provision to know him as well as the Father. God's purpose for his children is that we move into fellowship with him after accepting Jesus as our personal Savior, rather than simply meeting Jesus and never having a personal relationship with him or the Father. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you've been listening today about your salvation and you want to understand it properly, don't do it with your mind. Make a fresh start and get on that narrow way. Make the decision that you are going to get on that narrow path. Get off that broad way, and you're going to desire daily repentance. I can recommend this book to you. Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. You need to make sure you stay on that narrow path. The broad way leads to destruction. It looks good. It's even signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road right now. If you want to be sure and make sure that you stay on that narrow path, I suggest you read the book, The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hitchcock. The revised edition is now available in English. I pray that this message has helped you to understand your salvation and what you need to do, because you need to do something. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with a living God. So that means you have to do something. But what can we do except make him Lord and then let him do the work through us by obeying his Spirit that he's given us? Then whatever we do, it's going to be the right thing. You have to change your whole way of operating. If you really want to get to know Christ, you have to stop using your mind and start listening to the Spirit instead. And then do whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. This is my prayer for you today. Father in heaven, those who've listened to this message and have come with ears open and want to learn in their hearts, I believe you have spoken to them specific things that they need to do. You have challenged them through this message, and by your Spirit, not by me, but by your Spirit, you have quickened to them things that they need to work on. Father, I commit them into your hands. I ask that they will be faithful to apply those things that they have learned in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. What a privilege it has been to be with you today. If you want to get in touch with the ministry, there will be details afterwards, and we look forward to hearing from you. God bless you as you seek to understand your salvation more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you desire to know your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in a more personal and intimate way? Would you love for God to direct you in every detail of your life? If so, this book is for you. It'll give you clear, easy to understand instructions on how you can be prepared for an exciting and fulfilling walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This book from Joseph Hedgecock was written from experience walked out rather than just theory. If you're interested in this book and many other resources available in different languages, then visit www.solm.org.